The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 17, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 4th, 2008, in Germany.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 17. Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. Text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Suta Uvacha Chodito Vidarenaivam Vasudeva Katang Priti Pashasyatang Prita Mana Maitreya Prachabhashita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Suta Goswami continued. When Vidura became inspired to hear the activities of Lord Krishna in his various incarnations, Maitreya, also being inspired and being very pleased with Vidura, began to praise him. And then Maitreya spoke as follows, purport. Talk of Krishna Katha, topics about Lord Krishna or his incarnations, is spiritually so inspiring that the reciter and hearer are never exhausted. That is the nature of spiritual talks. We have actually seen that one can never become satiated by hearing the conversations between Vidura and Maitreya. Both of them are devotees, and the more Vidura inquires, the more Maitreya is encouraged to speak. A symptom of spiritual talks is that no one feels tired. Thus, upon hearing the questions of Vidura, the sage Maitreya did not feel disgusted, but rather encouraged to speak at greater length. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Panakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatan Sagana Raghunatan Vitan Tam Sajivan Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. This is the amazing nature of Krishna Gita. This is now we are doing that, you see. We are engaged in Krishna Gita, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now the symptom of one who is actually transcendentally situated is this activity that we're doing right now It would be so sweet and so relishable that we could go on for hours. We could go on for days, actually. And just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Not that we'll start getting a little impatient, you know, start looking at our watch and think, when will this be over, you see? The actual symptom would be that you pray that it will never be over. You just pray, let this never stop, because this is so sweet, it's so wonderful, I just don't want to stop doing this, you see. That's the actual nature. So, since that is the nature of this Krishna Katha, topics of Krishna, how do we actually enter into that? You see, that's the real question here. Because let's be honest, we have a tendency to look at our watch and think, when will this be over? You see? Or I'm feeling tired, I need a nap, or I'm hungry, I want to eat, or I have to go do this thing or that thing. You see, that's the reality. That's not the most pleasant reality, but that's the fact right now. It's called material life. You see? We are on the platform of material life right now. So, how do we actually bridge that gap, you see, between material life and genuine spiritual life? That should be the most important question we have. How can we make that transition from material life to spiritual life, or from, you know, neophyte spiritual life to advanced spiritual life? Same idea. Even when we begin the path, we're still carrying our material baggage with us. Our laziness, our quarrelsomeness, our different bad qualities are still coming, you see. So we have to get free from them. They're nothing but anxiety for us, those bad qualities. Of course, we think, if I'm not like this, then how will I survive in this world? After all, it's a dog-eat-dog world. If everybody else is a barking dog, then I have to bark also. I'm going to survive in this world. But actually, that's none of them. Krishna is the supreme protector. If you take complete shelter of Krishna, do you think he cannot give you all protection? Every Krishna can give everything. That person who is holding up all the planets, who is feeding millions and billions of animals in the jungle, you see, he cannot take care of you? How much do you eat? Do you eat as much as an elephant? No. Your daily necessities, Krishna can easily give. Not a problem for him. But we're thinking, oh, by my hard labor, I will maintain myself. That is our pride, actually. It's only by God's grace. Can you manufacture the air that you're breathing right now? Of course, someone would say, I'll just become a kumbhaka yogi. So I don't have to breathe anymore. But you have to do a lot of breathing between to get to that point, being a kumbhaka yogi. A lot of breathing between here and there. So the point is, we are totally dependent on Krishna for everything. So, don't you think we owe him some gratitude? If someone is giving you everything, all your necessities of life, and we don't show him any gratitude, what is that? In English, that's called an ingrate, someone who is not grateful, you see. It's called miser. I don't know about it in German language, but in English, there's the word miser, the selfish person, you see. And then there's the word miserable. The same word, miser, miserable, miserable, you see. Maybe in German there's some connection too, I don't know. The point is, if you're a selfish person, if you're miserly, you must be miserable. Self-centeredness means misery. So you can think you're the center of existence, or you can take God as the center of existence. We have a choice. You can go one way or the other. I am the center, or God is the center. So we can analyze which is a more logical explanation. It doesn't make sense that we could be the center of existence, that everything could be emanating from us, you see. That we're the summum bonum, the source of all energies. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Because we're totally dependent. If we were the source of the, if we were the center of all existence, we wouldn't be dependent on anything. We'd be completely independent, svarat. Totally independent. But the fact that we're so dependent on this thing and that thing, so many things we depend on every day, at every minute, that proves that we're not the center of existence. We depend on the air, the sun, the food, the buildings, the clothing, our friends, so many things, water, so many things we depend on. That we are not personally manufacturing, they are given by someone else. You see? That should tell us that I am not the center of existence. There's someone else or something else which is the actual center. So Krishna consciousness means to know what is that actual center of existence. And to reconnect with that actual center of existence through loving devotion. As we described last night, that is the powerful way to connect. One can certainly bring the mind under control through the yoga system. It's described in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamashcharam tatastatam niyomnaitad atmanyayuvashamniya. From whatever or wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So one can do that. You can mechanically drag your mind and place it here. But unless there is something higher where you're placing the mind, it will go running away again and again and again and again. So that's why we like to present to you Krishna. Because Krishna is so powerful, he's so beautiful, he's so renounced, he's so knowledgeable, he's so wealthy and so famous. That who would not want to associate with Krishna, you see? In this world, isn't that the fact? If someone is very powerful, we're attracted to them. Just like who's a powerful person in Germany? The chancellor? Prime minister? Who's the leader?
Chancellor.
Prime minister?
No, chancellor.
Chancellor, yes. So if the chancellor came to our class this morning, we'd all be very interested to see, oh, the chancellor has come. Because the chancellor is a very powerful person. Very powerful person. And if someone is very beautiful in this universe, she came to our class this morning, you'd all want to see, oh, she is Miss Universe. Let's check her out and see how beautiful she is. You see? Miss Universe has come. Someone is very renounced, just like Mother Teresa, you see, sacrificing everything for the poor of Calcutta. Then we We're also very attracted. Oh, Mother Teresa has come. Someone is very knowledgeable, just like here in Germany, you have your Albert Einstein, you see. Very intelligent, knowledgeable man. If he were to come, everybody would say, oh, Albert Einstein has come for the class this morning. Let me introduce myself. We're very attracted to that also. Someone's very knowledgeable. And if someone is rich also, just like if Bill Gates, you see, came for the class this morning, we'd like to. These people attract us. A powerful person, a beautiful person, a renowned person, a wealthy person, you see. A knowledgeable person. And the last one, a famous person. Even if he has none of the other qualities, somehow or other he's famous. And again, he's very attractive to us. We'd like to make some contact with that person. So these qualities of power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, which attract us to a person, they are present in Krishna to an unlimited degree. In fact, this is the test given by Parashara Muni, the great Vedic authority. He says you can understand who God is by studying these six characteristics. Power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. See who possesses these qualities and to a greater extent than anyone else. That is God. That's his definition. So we do not blindly take Krishna as God. If you can bring someone else who is more powerful, more beautiful, more renowned, more knowledgeable, more wealthy, more famous than Krishna, we will accept him. Even if it's a dog walking down the street, you see, we're detached. If you could bring a dog who has these qualities more than Krishna, then we'll accept the dog as God. Or a monkey, even a spider we'll take as God. If you can show this spider has more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, and more fame than Krishna. Understand the point I'm making? We're not fanatics here, blind fanatics. We are scientists. We are Vedic scientists who study the science, the Vedic science. And just like in the field of science, there are certain characteristics by which you can judge a thing. Similarly, we Vedic scientists have certain characteristics by which we can judge a thing. So we can judge who is God. According to the criteria given by Parashara Muni. So we really don't have to be misled. We really don't have to be in the darkness of ignorance. All we have to do is take the Vedic science, which is so perfectly given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and apply it. Simple thing. It's a simple thing, actually. And if we do this, what does Krishna say? Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nichipayuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. You realize what that means? If you become completely dedicated to Krishna, he'll personally give you everything you need. You won't be lacking in anything. But the catch is exclusive. Krishna is a jealous lover. He wants it all. He doesn't want just part of your love. Krishna wants every little bit of your love. All of it. All of it. 100%. That's the criterion. Someone who gives their love 100% to Krishna, then Krishna personally gives everything to them, whatever they need. Material things, spiritual things, everything is provided by Krishna. This is described. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 22. 9:22. Or is it 7? I think it's 9. It is 9? I think it's 9. So, you can check and see if it's chapter 9:22. Ananyas chintayanto mang te, that verse. So the point is, by practicing Krishna consciousness, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And the other point is, to what extent do you want to practice Krishna consciousness? You want to just a little bit? Oh, you can. Everyone's welcome. If you just want to do a little bit, that's all right. But kindly note in this connection, and Krishna states, "Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tatayva bhajamyaha." Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. How much of a reward would you like? It's like if I told you today that I have come to give you whatever wealth you desire. You've qualified for a special benediction. Now, however much wealth you would like, I'm prepared to write you a check for whatever you name the amount. I have a blank check for you, and it will, no matter how the amount is, it will clear. So how much will you ask for? Will you ask for 1 euro? 1 million euros? 1 billion euros? How much will you ask for? If you can have unlimited whatever you ask, how much will you ask for? You see? So in this way, Krishna is prepared to give you as much as you want. How much do you want of Him? You want a little bit of Krishna? You want a medium amount of Krishna? You want a lot of Krishna? Or do you want to be completely inundated in Krishna? You have your choice. And according to your choice, He reciprocates with you. That person who owns everything, who controls everything, He's prepared to reciprocate with you unlimitedly, but He will do so only to the degree that you reciprocate with Him. Krishna wants reciprocation, actually. He wants your love. He's giving His love to you. Now He wants your love coming back to Him. He wants, it's called exchange, loving exchange. So how much are you willing to give to Krishna? That's your choice. The beauty of this is, He doesn't force you, because actually, how can you force someone to love you? I put a gun in your head and say, okay, Michelle, love me or I'll shoot. How can you love a person who's threatening you like that? You'll hate them. So Krishna, He gives unlimited facility. You can love me or leave me, it is up to you. You can love me a little bit, love me medium, love me a lot, or completely give yourself to me in total surrender, whatever you like. You're welcome to do whatever you like. So an intelligent person thinks, well, all right, I'm getting all these different offers from Krishna, this extent, that extent, this extent, that extent, this extent, that extent. How much will I go for it? How much will I absorb myself in Krishna consciousness? Once a week for an hour? You see, once a day for an hour? What about 24 hours? What about 24/7? So, an intelligent person, then he compares. What's the benefit? He makes a study. Well, if I do it 1%, what will be the result? If I do it 2%, what is that result? 50%? He studies and he sees, well, 100% looks pretty good, actually. Because that's when all the perks really come in. That's when the perks come in big time, you see. When you achieve that, when you enter into that elite status of someone who is completely, totally surrendered to Krishna, which is a very elite position, actually. You know that verse? Manushanam sahasreshu kashtid yatati siddhaye Yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mang viditatvatah. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. So to come to the point of actually truthfully knowing Krishna, you see, that is a very elite position. That's the elite of the elites. It's like in the modern day world, for people who fly in the airplanes, they have different elite statuses. Like with American Airlines, I'm flying with them this year. If you fly 50,000 miles, they call you gold. You have a special status. Now you're a gold elite. If you fly 75,000 miles, then you are platinum elite. But if you go 100,000 miles, you are executive platinum elite. When you hit that top status, they give you so many amazing perks. You can buy an economy ticket and they put you, you can upgrade it to first class. You just purchase, you can upgrade. They give you all these upgrade coupons. You can upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. And then, of course, you get your free tickets also from all your freaking flyer miles. But even you can get a, so they give all kinds of perks. They give you special status wherever you fly all over the world. You get all these special recognition. Because you are the top level elite, executive platinum. So, you have your choice with Krishna. Do you want to be gold elite, platinum elite, or executive platinum elite? Do you want to surrender 50%, 75%, or 100%? You have the choice. No one's twisting your arm saying you have to. No. If you don't want to surrender at all, that's fine also. Whatever you want, you can do. That is Krishna's program. You see? If you want to surrender 1%, well, that's also welcome. You know why? Because if you surrender 1%, you're going to get some really sweet nectar that will encourage you to do what? Go to 2%. And then at 3%. And then the thing just goes, wow. Now I'll go to 10. I'm going to jump to 10%. And then you hit 10, you go, wow, this is really good. I'm going to go to 30%. You get to 30%, well, I'm going to 60%. After that, no, I'm going all the way. So, the point is that one should be intelligent. This human life means intelligence, actually, over the animals. See, the plants and animals are out there suffering in the cold weather. We're here in a heated apartment. See, that's intelligent. The human being has advanced intelligence, but the problem is he's using it now only for his material comforts, nothing else. That is the great tragedy. That is the great misfortune of the modern day society. They are using their advanced intelligence only for material comforts and nothing beyond them. That is a great mistake. You can use it for your material comforts, there's no harm. However, you should not limit it to your material comforts. And even if you say material comforts, all right, then I can argue. How comfortable are you? Even if you have all material comforts, how comfortable are you in this material world? You still have to be born, you still have to get sick, you still have to get old, and you still have to die. So if you're looking for real comfort, if you're looking for the perfection of comfort, then you find that position where there's no birth, no death, no old age, and no disease. That's called Krishna consciousness. Even if you're looking for comfort, this is the supreme comfort. So in this way, we have to understand what is the proper utilization of this most auspicious position we find ourselves in right now? What is the most auspicious utilization of it? And that is to take up the pathway of self-realization very seriously. So, do you have any questions? So, what do you think? Yeah. What are you thinking?
About protons.
Hmm?
I think about protons. 75 protons.
What's she saying, Devi?
75%. She's thinking about
percentage. Oh, you're thinking which percentage?
And I'm thinking about advantage.
Hmm?
And I'm thinking about advantage of percentage.
What's that,
Devi? And he's thinking about advantage of percentage.
Hmm. Yes, so that's good. We should always think that I'm not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. That's the safe way to think. And how can I increase my degree of surrender? That's how we should always think. If I'm thinking, oh yes, now I'm completely surrendered to Krishna, then where is the room to grow? And to be honest, we're not completely surrendered to Krishna. We know that. So it's always good to think, how can I get more benefit? How can I increase my surrender? What can I do to increase it? It's always, that's a very good way to think. What is my percentage level? How can I increase it? Very good. So do you have any idea now how you can advance in Krishna consciousness?
Sure.
You have an idea, yes?
Yes.
How can you advance? What will be your program, how to advance in Krishna consciousness? What is it, Devi?
Get up early in the morning and join the Mangalati.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I've been attending Mangalati for, 37 years? Every day. It's very nice. And if you're too sleepy, you can always get up and attend it and take a nap. You can always take a nap and make up for it. Very special thing. I mean, this is Prabhupada's introduction. Prabhupada taught us to do this. In the beginning of ISKCON, there was no Mangalarti. Devotees would go out late till all hours of the night chanting on Harinam Sankirtan on the streets of Los Angeles, Hollywood. And then Prabhupada introduced Mangalarti. He quoted the English, not English, but American philosopher, Benjamin Franklin. He said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So it's a fact. If you get up early in the morning, you become healthy, you become wealthy, and you become wise. Try it. Rising early will make you healthy, it'll make you wealthy, and make you wise also. It's amazing, even wealth will come. If one rises early in the morning, then wealth will naturally come to you. Money. Everybody wants money, isn't it? Just, to cover the necessities, to be able to get on in society. Everyone wants wealth. So those things will come. Just by getting up early in the morning, you'll find that money comes, good health comes, and wisdom comes. That's very nice. And even above those things, the most important thing is bhakti. Because you may feel very Krishna conscious in the evening, but then when you wake after sleeping all night, your mind goes way into the tamaguna, So you need some very auspicious ceremony to purify the consciousness in the early morning hours. So that's very good. You'd like to increase. So you're chanting japa?
She is initiated. Her name is Amrita Siddha Devadasi.
So you're all in it. You two are initiated by Jai Bhattaka Maharaj? Very good. And you're not initiated yet. Yeah. So that is a great opportunity to have the initiation. So if one can take full advantage of that by nice sadhana, then the result will be one becomes ecstatic. Krishna consciousness is not static, it is ecstatic, you see. So, in the old days, we all lived in the ashrams, you see. Everyone. It was easy. When you're living in a big community and everybody's getting up for Mangal Arati, and you know, everyone's following the basic standards, you know, putting on devotional clothes, putting on tilak. It's everyone's doing it. You do it because everybody else is doing it. But then... But nowadays, mostly devotees live on their own, separately. So how to keep that same spirit of an ashram when you're living separately, you see? That requires determination, self-discipline. If one does that, it means you have to make some extra effort because there's no group energy to empower you to do it. You got to do it on your own determination. But by making that effort, and you'll see that actually I can do this. I can have morning sadhana just like in a temple, right here in my own home. And then what does that do? That transforms your home into Vaikuntha. You will feel how you're living in the spiritual world at every minute. So it's worth that extra effort. Even if you have to set two alarm clocks to get up, see. Even if you're one of those persons that when the alarm goes off, it just, you know, it doesn't rouse you. So you can set two alarm clocks. And if that doesn't work, you set three alarm clocks. You somehow or another get out in the mode of ignorance. Take your morning bath, put on devotional clothes, put on tilak. And then you can chant with great enthusiasm. With great relish you can take shelter of the holy name. And then you can feel I'm actually connecting with my spiritual master at every minute. I'm connecting with Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas. I'm feeling how I'm connected with them in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And then you feel how they are present with you at every minute. Can you imagine anything more wonderful than to be in the presence of Srila Prabhupada? Just by taking up this process which he has given, seriously, then one will feel how Prabhupada is present with you at every minute. So it's worth that little effort, little extra effort to get up, have a nice program. Worth it. The rewards are very, very great. Big, 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 big rewards come. Tremendous elephantine rewards come to those who stick to the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, who stick to it tightly. Tremendous rewards come. So any questions?
Again, please Can you say this again? What to do when, you know, when we are getting tired by listening about Krishna? What's wrong?
What to do when?
When we are getting tired by listening about Krishna.
Got tired of?
When we are listening about Krishna, we get feel tired and sleepy.
Yeah, well. Well, one thing you can do, you can kind of like kind of tap, or you can, you know, go like take a little water, or you can stand up, you can rock back and forth, you know, there's different things you can do. Sometimes taking notes helps. Take some notes, so it'll help you to hear more carefully what's being said. It's a struggle. For most of us, we do struggle like that. The mud of ignorance pulls on us. You sit down to hear a class immediately. That's a good time to sleep. I can now take a little nap, you know.
Some places you hear this joke that devotees sleep in just a couple of hours a day, 3 hours a day, 2 hours during japa and 1 hour during bhagavatam.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. Yeah, they don't give me much time to sleep. I get 2 hours of sleep during japa and 1 hour during bhagavatam. I remember when Brahmachari during the Christmas marathon, the Buddhas were working so hard, staying out all hours of the night distributing books. The only time he got to take rest was during the Prema Dhvani. He would actually fall asleep during the Prema Dhvani. He'd actually fall sound asleep during Prema Dhvani. He was so tired.
But that is not Krishna consciousness.
Well, he was working so hard. Now the real thing is, you ask, one should sleep at the time for sleeping. And then when it's time for waking, one should wake. Yukta hara vahara sha, yukta chesta sakarmasu, yukta svapna vabodha sha, yoga bhavati dukaha. One who is tempered in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pain by practicing the yoga system. So when it's time to sleep, one should sleep very nicely. Get very nice rest. And when it's time for waking, then one should rise up. In this way, by being regulated in one's actions, then one can be completely free of all anxiety. That's the point. So take good rest when it's time for sleep, then get a very good rest. And if you need more rest, then take a nap also during the day if you need more rest. If you're not getting enough at night, then you can. Prabhupada actually broke his sleep into two pieces. He would take 2 hours rest at night. He would go to bed at 10 and get up at midnight to do his translation work. And then after lunch, he would take an hour and a half nap. That was his routine. 2 hours at night, an hour and a half in the afternoon. That was it. So we may not be able to imitate. But the point is, he took what he needed. Even in the middle of the day, he took rest after lunch. He found that was conducive. The old man's body, it's harder to digest. So he would take lunch and then take rest right after lunch. So if you're if you're sleepy and when it comes to hearing class, then one should see what can one do to adjust them. Taking a nap right before the class. There's different things one can do. Taking more rest at night. One should not be artificially austere to the point of hurting one's Krishna consciousness. Any other questions?
Yeah, okay, this is a technical part, you know, like stand up and all this. But why is it coming, you know? If in Bhagavatam there is that statement that one never becomes tired.
Because we are identifying with this material body. Because we are still on the material platform. For one who is completely on the spiritual platform, there is no question of becoming tired of hearing. It means we're still thinking I'm the body. The body may feel tired, you see. And if you think you're the body, then you will think I am tired. But if you know, if you're totally situated on the spiritual platform, there's no question of becoming satiated. 24 hours a day you can go on hearing about Krishna. For millions of years you can go on hearing about Krishna and never get tired. And just get more and more energy the more you hear. So the problem is we're still thinking we're the body. We're still identifying with our bodies. That's the problem. It's a big problem. So how do we get free from the bodily concept? By hearing. So the more you hear, the more you become inclined to hear. So hear as much as possible, that's the key. As much as possible, hear about Krishna. Every chance you have to hear, take advantage of it. Any other questions? All right. We can stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.